catchphrase and oops!
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau visited Arlington National Cemetery outside Washington today, placing a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Trudeau returns to Ottawa tonight. A 21-gun salute welcomed him on the White House lawn yesterday. His official visit with President Obama included the usual pomp and circumstance and some good-natured hockey trash talk. The two leaders also discussed common policy goals on climate change and efforts to move to a low-carbon global economy. And in a press conference following their talks, when reporters asked President Obama about the U.S. presidential campaign, Obama called the GOP primary thus far a crack-up.
There are thoughtful conservatives who are troubled by this, who are troubled by the direction of their party. I think it is very important for them to reflect on what it is about the politics they've engaged in that allows the circus we've been seeing to transpire.
Trudeau was also asked about his thoughts on the race. The Canadian Prime Minister said he will work with whomever American voters elect in November. So a cautious response from our northern neighbor. How are U.S. elections playing even further abroad? For a perspective from Europe, we turn now to Gavin Hewitt. He's the BBC's chief correspondent, and he's speaking to us from London. Gavin, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much.
So tell me, let me just ask the obvious question. When European broadcasters talk about the American presidential election, is it all about Donald Trump?
It is all about Donald Trump. British, European viewers and listeners have been following attentively what's been happening in America, but they're only following one story, and it's Donald Trump. This, for them, is political showtime. They're tuning in and they can't wait for the next episode. And I think early on they were open mouthed because people in Europe, politicians in Europe, don't usually speak with this kind of vulgarity or coarseness or turn on people in the same way. Some of them do, but many don't. And they followed this as if it was a political soap opera. In more recent times, particularly as Donald Trump has shown his strength in terms of the delegates that he's building up, the tone of the reporting in Europe has changed, and it's become much more concerned and much more critical.
I mean, this sounds somewhat familiar because I feel as if European coverage of U.S. presidential elections not infrequently goes from kind of amused laughter to open-mouthed concern. I mean, is that what we have now?
Well, I think on one level you're quite right. I think there is a tendency sometimes in Europe to sneer at the vulgarity of the political process in the United States and the sense that maybe Europeans do it in a more civilized and a better way, and a lot of people don't actually understand the process of electing an American president. But I think the criticism that has been around this time is of a different dimension. You know, a German paper coming out and saying Donald Trump is the most dangerous man in the world. The front cover of a French magazine talking about the American nightmare. Other people talking about Donald Trump as an ignoramus. There are even some who have put the face of Silvio Berlusconi on a picture of Donald Trump with Donald Trump's hair. So there's a great deal of attention, but I think the nature of what's of the concern is different from what you might expect at election time.
Well, we've heard some of what European leaders have had to say about this U.S. election thus far, and again, specifically vis-a-vis Donald Trump. I mean, Germany's economic minister has said that Donald Trump is a threat to peace and social cohesion and economic development. A spokesperson for British Prime Minister David Cameron said Donald Trump's calling for banning Muslims from entering the United States is, quote, divisive, unhelpful, and quite simply wrong. If I may say, that's a very British way of putting it. Is it fair to say that when it comes to the European political establishment, much like the political establishment in the United States, that they are genuinely concerned not only about who Donald Trump is, but what he represents regarding the fact that so many Americans find great appeal in his cause and what he says?
I think the political establishment in Europe is doing two things at the same time. The establishment is genuinely concerned that somebody like Donald Trump, who challenges many of the values that they hold and keep them in power, could end up with the top job in the Western world. But at the same time, they see Donald Trump as part of a new mold in politics, the sense that maybe globalization isn't working for the ordinary person. Maybe the middle class has not reaped the benefits it should have reaped. And also the sense of insecurity over wages. These things are common both to America and to Europe. And I think there have been, certainly in the last 2 years, two, 3 years, the rise in Europe of the anti-politician, you know, the outsider who comes up and suddenly is beginning to influence power. And what are they concerned about in Europe? They're concerned about migration. They're concerned about jobs migrating abroad. They're concerned about terrorism. All of these are similar concerns. And there are a lot of voters in Europe who feel anxious, left behind. And some of them look at Donald Trump and says, you know, he's speaking directly to me. Mm. I want somebody who comes and talks about my fears, my feeling that the system's rigged against me. And I think that a lot of mainstream politicians in Europe, they themselves are trying to fight off those newcomers from those outsiders. And so they feel that if Donald Trump were to be ultimately successful in the United States, this would also bolster some of these politicians in Europe who also are tapping into this sense of insecurity and into these fears.
Right, exactly. I mean, in fact, Gavin, in the UK itself, we saw Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party. And we must note that you and I are having this conversation at a time when Britain is considering exiting the European Union. So this sense of uncertainty about globalization is not unique to the United States. But I am wondering, you know, it's not just Donald Trump. Everything that you described, we're hearing some of those similar refrains from Bernie Sanders on the Democratic race. You know, in the past week or so, he's been talking very extensively about failed trade agreements and their impact on American workers. So I wonder, we don't know what the outcome of the election is going to be, but it is very possible that the United States will elect a, you know, for lack of a better term, non-establishment president in November of 2016. If that happens, what would the impact be for U.S. relations with Europe, for Europe's attitude about America?
I think it would be very, very significant. If a non-establishment politician became president of the United States, I think it would have a very, very considerable impact on European-American relations. There'd be a great deal of caution at first, but there'd also be a concern that this would strengthen those who are making the same kind of critique in Europe as Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders is in the United States. And I think there would be others who would feel it is a sign. And this, to me, is the big question that lies behind all of this. It seems to me that democracy has not yet come up with an answer to the impact of globalization. And perhaps lying behind all of this is that sense that democracy, both in the United States and in Europe, isn't able to convince some of the middle class, some of those who earn less than that, that the system works for them. And so we live in a time when voters are footloose. Some of the old loyalties are being snapped and thrown away, and therefore they're giving much more time to the newcomer. They may be blowhards, but on the other hand, if they're speaking directly to them and their concerns, they're going to give them the time of day.
Gavin Hewitt is chief correspondent for the BBC, speaking to us from London. Gavin, thank you so much.
Not at all. Thank you. Very nice to speak to you.